So today, after a lot of time and discussion, and backwards and forwards, we start our sermon series on the book of the prophet Amos. We're wondering why neither of our readings this morning come from the book of Amos. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Let's start with why we are doing a sermon series in the first place. The usual practice of most churches in the Church of England is to follow the lectionary for our weekly readings. And while this is perfectly fine and has a lot of strengths, it does mean that we very rarely hear a whole Bible book, chapter by chapter, with no edits, omissions, or gaps. And sometimes I think that that leads us to think of the Bible in kind of a fragmented way. So to read through a whole book of the Bible together helps us to get a sense of what the original author intended for us to learn by their writing, to try and understand important themes, to get a sense of the history of the book, and to try and understand what meaning that book might have for us today. So while the lectionary is very clever in the way that it is shaped and put together to ensure that through the course of a year we read the whole Bible, it does have a bit of a thing to make sure that we don't just cherry pick the bits we want to hear. I think there is nevertheless a good case for occasionally picking out a book to read together and learn from as a community. So that's why we're going to be doing a sermon series for the next 9 weeks. It's also worth pointing out that we have some very talented preachers in our midst. They each bring a different perspective to their faith and to what they read in the Bible, and thereby what they share with us when they teach us on Sunday mornings. So in the weeks to come, we'll be hearing a chapter of Amos in both of the churches of this benefice, which means that two preachers will be preaching on the same text each week. And hopefully, if the technology works, we'll be able to record these and post them so that you can hear what was said in the other church if you were in only one. But hopefully this will help to give you an idea of what it means to hear different perspectives and to share different ideas of the texts that we are reading from. So that's why, but why Amos? Why would we be learning from Amos? Well, Amos is what is known as one of the 12 minor prophets. It might not necessarily be a book that you've encountered much before. Now, I should just point out that when we say the minor prophets, it doesn't mean that they weren't important. It just means that their books are shorter than the major prophets. And if we did one of the major prophets chapter by chapter, we would still be going next year. But there are very good reasons for picking Amos in particular. Amos was a man who was one of the first people called by God to bring a prophetic message to the kingdom of Israel. Now, you might not necessarily know much about the history of the kingdom of Israel, so I thought I would just give you a very brief overview this morning. We know of King David, and we know that he was king over Israel by the Lord's command. His reign really marked quite a high point in the relationship between the people of Israel and God. It was a point where that understanding of being the people of the covenant was strong. When David died, his son Solomon became king. And as we all know, he was known for his wisdom, and he was the one who built the first temple in Jerusalem. And when King Solomon died, his two sons decided to split the kingdom between themselves. Jeroboam became king of Israel in the north, and Rehoboam became king of Judah in the south. And their sons and grandsons continued on that tradition of having two kingdoms, one north and one south. And over the years and the centuries that followed, sometimes those kingdoms were allies and sometimes they were not. But they were both inhabited by descendants of those people who crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land and who identified themselves as people of the covenant in special relationship with God. And yet, somewhere along the line, the people of the northern kingdom of Israel started to forget what that meant. They began to neglect the commandments of God. Social injustice grew. The poor became poorer, the rich became richer, and justice became a matter of being able to pay for it. Now, this is not just a story. You can see this in the archaeological record. When you have a look at Jerusalem, you can see that in the time of King David, the dwelling places around the city were more or less of a similar size. Some were a little bit bigger, some were a little bit smaller. But generally speaking, and overall, things were not too different. By the time the kingdom of Israel fell after the invasion of the Assyrians, you can see something very different. The dwellings of the wealthy were huge. And the dwellings of the poor, well, they were little more than slums on the corners of the grimiest and least sanitary parts of the city. The stark injustice that we will hear about in the book of Amos was a real thing. And the consequences were equally real. Now, whenever we talk about prophets and prophecy, we always have a question lingering in the back of our minds. How do we know that this particular prophet is truly a prophet? How do we know that what they say is actually coming from God? Well, the mark of a true prophet is that their prophecy comes true. And we know from history that Amos's prophecy about the northern kingdom and its fall would come true. In the year 722 BC, the kingdom of Israel was destroyed by invading forces from Assyria. The people were scattered, Greek-speaking world, and the land was lost forever. Well, what does any of this have to do with us? What does any of this mean for Christians this morning, today, in our context? Well, that's one of the reasons why I chose the letter to Timothy, the second letter. Because in it, St. Paul reminds us that actually all scripture is useful. It is all a way to reflect on who we are, to admonish, to reprove, to encourage, to teach. All scripture does this because all scripture ultimately is inspired by God. Now, when we start to look a little bit more closely in the weeks to come at the themes that Amos wants to bring to our attention, I think we'll begin to see that the book of Amos is not irrelevant to us at all. Themes that we will encounter in the weeks ahead are just as meaningful to us today as they have ever been. Within those pages, we will hear a warning against complacency. We will be reminded people of God have a responsibility to speak out against injustice and to tackle unfairness in our culture, in our society, and that there are consequences if we ignore this on our lives. So, is it part of our faith to pay attention to these things? Well, I also chose another reading for today that we've just heard. They're commonly known as the Beatitudes. They are some teachings that Jesus gave to his disciples very soon after he called them to follow. They're basic teachings about how we as Christians are now to live. And those same themes that you will see about being blessed as meek, about being those who seek peace, about those who challenge injustice and seek for righteousness, about those who stand up against persecution. Those same themes we will find in the book of Amos, and they resonate with us today. And I was beginning to wonder where I might find an example of what I mean by that. And it led me to one of the most famous speeches of the 20th century. Many of you will know the speech that was given by Martin Luther King on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Most of us know the bit that starts, "I have a dream." But that was at the end of his speech. There's a lot of stuff to learn from that speech beforehand. And I think one of the most powerful parts of that speech about racial equality is this line: "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." These words are a direct quote from Amos 5. We'll see in the weeks ahead just how that powerful call for justice against inequality is as much alive today as it was hundreds of centuries ago, thousands of years ago. So as we hear and explore this book together in the weeks ahead, let us be alive to the warning that it contains, not just for us, but for the whole of our society. Because our faith is built on this. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be the people of the covenant today, the new covenant given in Christ's blood. We have a responsibility to show the world what it means to be the people of God. So, before next week, if you can, try to read Amos 1. And the week after that, try to read Amos 2, in preparation for what we will hear from our preachers. It's only one chapter a week, it's not much. Let's learn together. Let's be shaped by what we hear, and let's grow in faith together in the Lord. Amen.